on. So I would feel more comfortable if we could work out an arrangement where, because we have self-policing groups in other parks, and you discuss that later on in the report, if we could have the Friends of Calathea Farm able to ride on selective portions of these trails, probably by permit only, limited use, and they'd be responsible for monitoring the usage, seeing that the horses don't go off the trails and create any more problems, and keeping the horses out of the particular areas where there was camping and like. There's a particular site off one of the trails where there was a Civil War encampment, and I can understand why we'd want to protect that. But my own feeling is that we're being a bit harsh. The people who have used, I think, have an organizational structure that they could ride on those trails, limited use riding under a permit system, and in that sense, avoiding damage. I think that the problem is reflected in your stat, in your presentation, that there was unauthorized and unlimited use. So I would like to see the trails, certain of the trails, kind of the south and east Calathea form, opened up to pedestrian equestrian access under a permit system so that we can control it. If they cause problems, we'll yank the permits, and that'll be the end of it.
One of the, if I might respond to that, one of the challenges that we articulate in the report is that there is access to the park for equestrians, not just from Calathea, but from two points on the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal, as well as the Muddy Branch, main Muddy Branch Trail. Just north of the area shown on the map, we have the Potomac Equestrian Center. And there are, in fact, riders that originate from that facility that come down the Muddy Branch Stream Valley as well.
Well, let's go back to the last slide you have, which is the blow-up.
Okay.
Right there. Okay. And where are they coming from?
They're coming from north of Esworthy Road.
Is that our Potomac Horse Center?
Yes.
So that's also one of our
horse
farms.
Okay. Yep, horse stables.
But now, what is their path? Because I thought that, so the shared use does allow equestrian?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So the challenge, from my perspective, to enact the type of proposal that you just articulated is that we in the field would have to differentiate those equestrians that originate from Calathea and have a permit versus those that have entered from the CNO Canal at either of two locations.
Show me where those locations are.
There. We're there.
Yeah, okay. Show me how you can contain them. I'm only concerned about the area that's just on the far left of the park, right next to Calathea Park. What's
like the overlooks?
Yeah. What's a potential method for containing them by preventing access from other portions of the park? You could only access from Calathea Farm. Calathea Farm Friends Group or some similar group would be responsible for controlling access under our guidelines.
We also have equestrian access from the main parking lot on River Road. You're asking us to limit access to the park overlooks by equestrians that would originate in the parking lot at two locations on the canal or the main Muddy Branch trail that runs north-south to the canal.
I don't think that's what I said.
What is your proposal, John?
Well, my proposal would be at least to allow riders coming from Calathea Farm to ride to the Outlooks.
With a permit. If they didn't have a permit, they couldn't. And it would be somehow posted.
And it'd have to be posted, and if necessary, they may have to do it in groups that are under control of the people that we've given the permit to.
So would that be a new dotted line?
No, it would be just riding to the Outlooks. You can come out the backside of Calathea Farm. There's a gate that we've now closed off because of our concerns. They could ride to the Outlooks. The question is, do they have to go back to Calathea Farm, or is there the way that they could ride down the portion of the road that is, in fact, is a little bit steeper, possibly not even go over as far, even over as far as the main park entrance? There's several trails there. Are they all the same environmental sensitivity? That's what I'm asking.
It was our experience in 1989 that it was difficult to maintain the integrity of those trails under in response to the use by horses. Coupled with the implementation of the trail plan in 1989 was a significant amount of site restoration that was done by staff from the Northern Region and the Natural Resources Division. That involved restoring trail bed, replanting borders, so on and so forth.
But was that dirt bike? I thought part of the problem was some sort of motorized vehicles.
We had two problem areas at the time. The two areas were concentrated. Number one, north of River Road, in and around the vicinity of a pond and wetland complex. And those problems were caused by ATVs and four-wheel drive vehicles. The other area of significant degradation occurred at the two overlooks and the vicinity of the Civil War resources. And those degradations were the result of equestrian access.
Well, it seems to me that one of the differences now is that Calathea Farm, we own it. We have control over the access from Calathea Farm, and we even have a caretaker and manager there who can administer the permits and has a good idea of, you know, is it only 65 horses?
Correct. There are 65 animals called for or allowed for in the Soil and Water Conservation Plan and Nutrient Management Plan.
How many are there now?
A little over 50, according to George. Back in 2001, there was a survey of riders taken, and 17 riders responded to the survey. Of those 17 riders, 15 used trails in the park. 14 of those 17 went out in all seasons and at least once a week. Based upon that, it shows that riders aren't necessarily restricting themselves to Calathea as a facility, but they're really taking advantage of the trail loop or loops that this particular plan is formalizing.
Well, let's go again. Let's go. Come out of the backside of Calathea Farm. Let's put the pointer right on that and go down and go to the first overlook. Come back. Go to the second overlook. Now come back. Now, I'm getting a little lost at this point. But somewhere where those, as you're coming back from one of those two trails that you have marked going out to the northeast is a road. You know, it's a former lumber road. It's got a bridge on it.
Well, those were the roads that were constructed in order to allow access. Well, Jim, you want to comment?
They actually, I think, were the Civil War access roads.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been graded. There's a wooden bridge on one. Is it possible, do they go back, in fact, connect with the River Road Trail?
They do. This trail here is probably the one you're referring to. It goes downhill and then
crosses
the bridge, which is right here, and it continues up here. This one is probably the trail in the park that's in the worst shape at the moment. And this section of this trail here is the one that required in 89 pretty much.
Okay, what if you take the route? What if you take the route that's to the further down?
This one?
Yeah, take that one down. I think that's a road also, isn't it?
No, actually, this is a portion of this is a road, but right in, let's see, where is it? Right in here, it turns into a very narrow trail. I mean,
it's a narrow trail.
It's probably
steep.
Less than a foot wide. And goes down a very steep, pretty sensitive area at this point here.
So what's the condition of the trail more to the left right now, the first one we were looking at?
I mean, this one right now is fairly rutted and you know, has a good bit of erosion on it. It's kind of deeply incised so that it's hard to get the water to run off of it. This trail is getting in, has the potential to get in that position because that's where we had to do a major restoration back in 89. It was the one about three quarters of this trail.
I guess I'm thinking that, you know, even, I don't know, it's not quite a pilot, but it seems to me in 1989, it's been a while, there's been quite a bit of change, and we do have this new situation with Calathea. I understand your concerns about not knowing, you know, where an equestrian comes from, but I also think that there's real potential for the manager of Calathea himself to administer some sort of a limited permit program, and I'll defer to those who know more about equestrian activities than I do to make suggestions as to how to make sure horses stay on the trail and preserve the trail and can...
What struck me is you're using that approach in another park, which is dedicated to bicycles, and there was a problem with their going off and making illegal trails, which we grandfathered in.
But I just agree with
that. That was the state of Maryland.
I think we should give it a try for a while and see what happens. We can always, it's our park, we can always reconsider. I think it just seems counterintuitive to me to have a horse facility that we're operating, like, literally next door, and, I mean, it's just too tempting. I don't want to make people scoff laws. Here you are, you're at the brink of the Potomac. I mean, I'll have to walk there myself, but with a, you know, the overview, and to think that they might never go there, I just think we should try to limit access but allow it. And I would leave it to you all. So I would suggest amending that. I was thinking that green dotted loop. I don't know if there's a better route. John seems to have.
Well, I'm a little concerned. I understand. I feel comfortable in terms of coming out of the backside of Calathea Farm and going to the two overlooks, provided the horses stay out of the one Civil War site that I know that our archaeologists are concerned about. That's all that is fairly level grade.
But that's on the farm already, isn't it?
If you're going to go that way, I would go further. I would have them, for the trails that are at all sensitive, you know, commit that they will walk, not trot, not canter, just because that less impact if they're walking. And very important, they stay on the trail. I mean, they shouldn't go off the trail for any reason.
They can't go off the trail. I think that's
right.
Nor should they go in, you know, muddy conditions. Mm-hmm. And maybe that could all be part of the what they agree to.
The question is just the route back, whether they go back through the top of the wishbone. You can come out of Calathea Farm and go down the wishbone and back, or whether it's possible them for them to ride right up alongside the edge of the farm, you know, in a way that we can maintain that, where they can maintain, help maintain the trails.
Was there an existing trail now?
Yes, there is.
Well, can't they go on the existing trail?
Well, there is an existing trail now. It's probably the most popular trail, you know, for anyone who wants to walk and get out to the bluffs. Mm-hmm. That's basically the route that they would take. There's a small parking area up here, and they would take this route. And this is by far the most traveled trail in the park. And one of the things we discussed in putting the plan together is, you know, how do you control the impacts that you're going to have on a particular trail? When you look at a plan like this, obviously there's one trail that sort of stands out. And, you know, one of the ways you do that is limit, you know, who can use it, particularly if it's a trail that's has problems with steep grades and erosion. It sort of made sense to us to not have equestrian use on it.
It sounds as though staff are on the losing end of this argument, but this particular park was purchased for a reason. And that reason was not to provide opportunities for equestrian access. It was purchased with federal money to steward the significant archaeological, historical, and natural resources on the site. This particular park is classified, as you heard during the public hearing, as one of our conservation parks. Within the current park classification system, parks that are so designated were done so primarily because of the sensitivity of the resources therein. This is one of the best conservation parks in the park system. We had a significant challenge in working with the various user groups to achieve balance between stewardship and recreation as allowed for within the context of PROS policy. And there were many, many hikers, many environmentalists that felt we were going too far with this plan, just as you obviously feel we're not going far enough. But I can't stress enough the fact that the decisions that we make on a park-by-park basis affect our ability to achieve success in stewarding park resources system-wide. And I'll go back and remind you of arguments that I made for example, paved trails in Matthew Henson Stream Valley, and how difficult it was before we took a holistic approach to this issue of balancing stewardship and recreation, how difficult it was to convince the public and the policymakers and our elected officials of the need for that facility balanced with the impacts that it was going to cause to sensitive areas and resources. We carried that argument by pointing to the fact that we have places like Blockhouse Point where the pendulum swings largely towards stewardship. And I'm very concerned that what you're trying to do here for users of a facility that recently came into the system well after this particular park was purchased, you're encouraging a use that, in staff's opinion, just isn't appropriate. As Rob pointed out, there are a lot of people that go out to those bluffs on foot to take advantage of the peace and the solitude and the tranquility and the serenity that's offered. It's probably the best view in the park system. And it's easy to understand why people on horseback want to have it. Well, staff aren't arguing to exclude people. We're just arguing to exclude people on horses and bikes. The folks that want to ride in this park on bicycles were sort of willing to back off because they knew we were towing the line with the equestrians. I'm just concerned that what you're doing it makes it hard for us to carry the argument on balance elsewhere in the system.
I'm support the staff recommendation on this one. I'm not. I'm skeptical of permit systems. I mean, we had a big argument about permits earlier in the day, and the question of enforcement was top and center. I just can't even imagine the notion that people are going to be figuring out which horse violated their permit. Or get to a point where we'll discover the trails have degraded, and so then we'll have a fight about, we're going to close it to everybody because somebody was screwed up, and now we're no longer letting horses in. I'm a staff on this one.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate, if I can step away from being a staff for a second. This opportunity to visit the bluffs on horseback would then become a perk of anyone who happens to be boarding their horse at Calathea, and anyone else who's an equestrian in the county wouldn't have that opportunity.
But it's a public facility, so anyone can board their horse there.
Or anybody can ride through it, which is the core of your argument about why it shouldn't be permitted.
But I thought you just said as part of this that it wouldn't be anyone who was just riding through Calathea.
It's our facility. You control access from Calathea in terms of the number of riders.
So it could be anyone who came in any direction as long as they went through
the booth. They're going to have a little.
Yeah, in essence.
We'll get them on Fast Pass.
Well, as I said, I'm willing.
Receiving some of it, though.
Water off the duck's back. After 3 years, I'm used to it.
It's so late, but when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, I was actually in a jack-in-the-box, and there was a horse on a rider on a horse in front of me in the line. So it is possible getting food to go, but I don't think we should set up a thing like
that. You're from Texas.
I'm from Texas, so. No, I hear what you're saying. It's very sensitive. If this were Rachel Carson, I wouldn't even consider it, introducing a new use that's never been done before. But this is something that is going to be done. You're recommending it in certain areas. It adjoins our own horse farm property. I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm also willing to assume if there's a lot of degradation, I'm not going to blame the hikers. I'm going to blame the equestrians, and I'm willing to take another look at it. Maybe we should even set in a year, 2 years, or when I don't know when you're going to put in this in place, when it actually could be used, and the actual system it'll actually be available. But from whatever point of time when it was actually available, I think we should set up, I don't know, 18 months later.
The reason I suggested going through Calathea Farm, and it might mean that all they can do is ride out the back of Calathea Farm, go to the bluffs, and come back to Calathea Farm, and maybe someone from Calathea Farm, part of the staff for the park function, is to ride with people out there and see that they don't go anyplace else.
I wonder if it might be useful to find out where the other two board members are on this issue.
We might be having a discussion that doesn't need to be discussed.
Right.
Well, there is that possibility. As interesting as it is.
I want to hear from everybody.
Yes. Mr. Bryant, explore the range of the options.
Where the other two are, and then
let me just make sure I understand page 9, the chart first. In terms of your chart, which I think is instructive, the questions have 76 miles of 118-mile total path projected. Is that correct?
Correct.
Which means that a horse has actually double 76 miles because it's 76 miles one way, and then the horse can come back. And I think that the horse can probably do all right without going the remainder of the mile. I'm going to support the staff on this also. Keep in mind, at least from my perspective, we have done a lot to accommodate what I call for want of a better term, an esoteric community. Now, esoteric by virtue of the fact that only a very, very small percentage of the population in Montgomery County has horses, and in fact are riding horses. And I think that we do a very, very adequate job of making provisions for them to have adequate riding trails. And we have, in fact, a part of Calathea Farm was in response to the equestrian community. So I have no reservation about the idea of going with your recommendation, and I think that you did a very credible job of speaking with passion about what we need to consider. And I thought that you did it in a very respectful manner also. And I appreciate the way you went about making sure that we were mindful of the kind of decision that we're about to make.
Well, I think there's a lot of passion on both sides of this issue. I also think in reality, we're dealing with a very small issue in the grand scheme of things, because what we're talking about, my guess would be, at most, in good weather, you know, a dozen or so riders from Calathea on a given weekend going on to the disputed portion of the trail. And if they are walking the horses, not galloping, if they are staying on the trails, if the weather conditions are decent, which I assume would all be part of the conditions that Mr. Robinson is proposing, it's hard for me to see that they're going to do really any more damage than a hiker is going to do. Now, if people are going to be irresponsible, then yeah, there's an issue. But I think we already allow the park police volunteers on horseback to have access.
There has been quite a bit of equestrian access on trails that is inconsistent with the board-adopted plan.
Okay, well, then
and the park police...
The park police themselves may not be fully aware of what the rules are. But anyway, I do not see this as a precedent. I see it as strictly about Calathea Farm and access for that particular. And you can call it a perk, but it's also an issue which we've talked about a lot, of supporting our public-private partnerships, supporting the equestrian industry, which is not just about the esoteric group that ride. It's really more about the agricultural reserve and the importance that the equestrian community has for the farmers. It's probably far more of a public policy issue than anything that the equestrians themselves do. I guess I don't see the a problem with doing it on an interim basis, on a trial basis, to see how it goes.
May I ask a question of one thing you said, though? You indicated that if people, in fact, will walk their horses, then there will be less degradation, et cetera. And the first thing that occurred to me is if people were that considerate and that concerned, would there be degradation that we are looking at now that we're concerned about? And where does the policing come in terms of that?
That was the bad people, but they've all gone away.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's the case, we've gotten rid of the
bad
people.
They all left.
Well, then I'm not as concerned.
It seems to me it's a fair point. How did it get to be degraded? Somebody did something.
Well, I thought we heard the degradation was a result of the ATVs and the...
No, in the vicinity of the bluffs, the degradation was solely in response to equestrian access.
One of the questions that you asked us to look into was impacts of multi-use trails versus equestrian trails, and we did look at that in a couple places. We have some slides. I don't know if it's worth
I thought this was 15 years ago, though.
Well, it may be useful to, before you vote, to take a look at shared use trails elsewhere in our park system. These are trails that primarily support hikers and equestrians. And this is something you asked us to do. Little Bennett Regional Park supports an interesting network of trails. These were planned, designed, and constructed in the mid to late 1980s. Little Bennett Regional Park can be considered to be divided from a northwest to a southeast way, if Rob could point it out on the map, by Hyattstown Mill Road on the northeast and Kingsley Schoolhouse Road to the southwest. The portion of the park trail system north of those two roads is open to hikers, equestrians, and mountain bikers. The portion of the trail system south of those two roads is open to hikers only.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, we really don't see a lot of mountain bike use in that part of in the park, but we do have a significant amount of equestrian activity as a result of the fact that you can trailer your animals there, and we've provided gravel parking areas similar to what are available at Blockhouse Point. The slide in the upper right-hand corner is Loggers Run Trail. And Rob, if you could point that out on the map. The slide on the lower left corner is Beaver Valley Trail, which is on the south side of the park. These slides were taken the same day. And you can see that there's a big difference in the character of the trail that's open to horses versus that which is open to hikers. I strongly disagree with your opinion that horses cause less or the same impact as hikers. The evidence to those of us that work in the field day in and day out with these issues is that horses, being larger animals and having 4 feet as opposed to 2, cause a lot of impact. And that those impacts are particularly noticeable during the period of the year from roughly the end of November through late spring, early summer, when the soils tend to be wet. Another example, if we could go to one of our newer trails in the county, the Rural Legacy Trail over in Sandy Spring. This trail was originally developed in order to provide interpretive opportunities for the Underground Railroad, and it links some important facilities, both in parks as well as the surrounding community in Sandy Spring. If you take a look at the slides in the upper right-hand corner in both winter, fall, and spring, summer, those two slides are taken from the exact same location, and we've reached a point on the Rural Legacy Trail where it's largely unusable by hikers in response to the equestrian impact. Leadership Montgomery was in that park this week, and we had to hurriedly scramble
park resources in order to make enough repairs just to get people through that area on foot. These impacts that I speak of are real, and they're significant, and it takes a lot of money to fix them. And again, going back to this issue of balance that I speak of, it's just so important for us when you consider the size of our capital program and the amount of opposition that we often get for our millions of dollars worth of park development projects, opposition from the environmental community, that we have certain places in our park system where we hold the line. And I'll say again that I think it's just important that we do that in those areas that are clearly special and deserving of our focus on stewardship.
But by the same token, the more people we keep out of our park system, the less we do to enhance our constituency.
Yeah, although the risk is, because I've been on, I'm a walker on a lot of trails, and I've been on trails as a walker that have degraded, and as a walker, it's pretty unpleasant. And so one of the risks we run is that we will keep people out by opening up to horses. That is, the walkers who want to get the most beautiful view in the county will decide it's really not a particularly pleasant walk once the trail is has degraded, or and combined with the horse indicia one finds along the way, it's not as pleasant an experience for the walker. So this is not costless for the main users. Now, if our theory is it's only 12 horses in the county that are going to do it, why are we risking it for the 12 horses in the county? That's not gonna expand our user base. So I guess either this is something that lots of horses want to do, in which case we have a problem, or we're talking about a tiny, tiny number, in which case I'm not sure why we'd risk either our broader policies or risk any degradation for a couple of horses.
Well, I can see that we have differing views on this. And for me, what's important is that we have flexibility and it's not written in stone. I wouldn't want to be setting down, I don't know how many horses are going to use it. I really don't really have a good idea. There's 50 there now, and I don't know how often they're going to use it. And that's why I would like to just try it on a very limited basis. Or, as I said, whenever the trail is open, then we should set a time period from that date, time certain, in which we will take a look, and you'll have your photos, and we can review it. And if it turns out we are suffering that kind of degradation, which you seem to feel very clearly will occur, then I will reconsider, and I will have a different feeling about it, because I do understand that you don't want to degrade the bluffs of the Potomac. But at this particular moment, it's been 15 years. We have purchased. We have control over the horse farm. It may turn out that we have less control than we think we do. But I'm willing, to try it out because of the kind of the history of the place and the history of equestrian.
There are actually two overlooks. Does it make any difference if one of those overlooks is designated hiker only and the other is shared use?
Well, I think it really matters what the path is for the horse. I mean, it really matters in terms of, limiting what the horse, the kind of damage that they can do. And you can't connect to the overlooks along the Potomac, right? You have to go back to the loop. So maybe that is also something that should be done.
Down the Calathea Farm or go down along the stream valley.
So then it would just be the one closest to the farm? Is that the path?
I will point out that, once you've said the horses are allowed in there, control is extremely difficult. There are horses on Rachel Carson Trail because I've seen what they leave behind. I walk there regularly. They're prohibited. But they're on there, or else someone's bringing in horse manure by hand, which seems unlikely.
Just like to create that experience.
So I can't imagine. I mean, the notion that you're going to say you can come down this part, but don't take a right turn. when there's a trail there, it just seems not very plausible that that's that
would the board entertain the park manager commenting on this proposal?
I think the board knows.
Yeah,
the board wants to ask questions, they can ask questions.
I would like to ask the question of the park manager.
Put you on the spot, Jamie.
And do you manage Blockhouse or both, Calathea?
Calathea would be in the northern region sub area for Shady Grove. So I've been on Calathea. We don't have an opportunity to go there very often.
But you don't manage it?
No.
No, that's isn't that we just said that that's under.
Yeah, I hear that. They're just next door to each other. Yeah okay.
You've heard the discussion, and you know the recommendation of the staff. From your perspective, how do you balance the two, if at all, or does it make sense to balance the two?
I'm still siding with staff, obviously, because mm-hmm. that was part of the process. There's several issues out there that that I see from a maintenance standpoint. We have no vehicular or truck access to just about all of Blockhouse Point. So any maintenance that we do in a golf cart-type vehicle, or we actually have to walk in. We trim dead wood and fallen trees off the formal trails. Supposed to do it four times a year, but we aren't able to get out there usually but once. And that is strictly a walk-in proposition. Guys have to walk in with saws and gas for a lot of those trails. The raw materials that we would need to do repairs, which would be dirt, would be gravel or wood, we would have to take in a golf cart type vehicle, and it would be extremely labor intensive and extremely slow. And I am in total agreement that once the horses are on the property, I don't know how you would say, well, you can't go out that one trail that Rob was showing to River Road, the one that Jim had said was the old military road. That would be extremely hard to maintain, as would the loop that Rob said that ended up being in some real steep terrain.
But aren't they already on the property under this plan? Isn't there an equestrian trail that kind of parallels River Road that takes them through the park?
Right, this solid purple line here is the only trail south of River Road through the park that horses...
But they are in the park.
And
so
a lot
the issue
of
how they might turn left, they might turn right, they might wander off the trail is already a risk.
True.
But you think it's that trail they'll respect, they'll stay on that one.
A lot of that trail is Old River Road also. It's old roadbed.
Yeah, I mean, we put up signs and hope they'll pay attention.
I would certainly be expecting you to put up signs for the limited access permit only.
What perplexes me even a little bit more is if they only really get a chance to go in about once a year to do maintenance, and you're talking about a pilot and then see how it works out, a short-term pilot, that's incompatible. Where is this? Who's going to be overseer of this pilot? And how are you going to evaluate and assess impact?
And pay for fixing it. But that's...
Well, does Calathea Farm, the manager, ride there? Do we know if the manager, George, rides the trail?
I don't know.
Is anybody policing it now?
We should... It's my understanding... I shouldn't say understanding. It's been my observation over the years that... Most of the riders, but not all of the riders at Calathea, have respected the current trail plan. Some haven't. And when we recognize damage, we meet with the facility manager and explain the reality of the board-adopted plan and try to encourage that use not to continue. I'll say again, I'm very concerned that we really don't have the staff to monitor this. We have maintenance standards that you regularly look at in the back of our operating budget, and we can't fulfill them. this is a particular park that would cry out for regular and routine monitoring and maintenance given the sensitivity of the resources. And if you ask Jamie to devote the staff, which he really doesn't have, to do it, that means something else is going to go undone.
So I'm clear on my colleagues. You want to allow horse access, but not bicycles, because
right.
that.
But it hasn't been a traditional bike farm next door.
But I thought we wanted lots of people to use our parks, and more people have bikes than have horses. So why wasn't that what I said?
You know, what I said is it's you already have an equestrian trail in the park, and you have an adjoining horse farm, which is part of our park system, which I think we should just merge it all, and it should all be managed, you know, by one.
Let me ask a question and then provide a piece of information that might be helpful. It looks to me as though there are, well, I know that there are two overlooks. It also looks to me as though there are several ways of getting to the overlooks from the conceded equestrian trail, the purple line. Is any one of those routes less, you know, less impactive than the other, if we were going to talk about?
Jim, in terms of the...
letting equestrians use have access to one bluff along one particular trail, does that provide any advantage over what John's initial proposal was? Do you understand my question?
You're asking, if I understand correctly, would one bluff, one overlook, be more conducive to
equestrians? Yeah, I mean, my understanding is Calathea does not want... Calathea has no interest in free run of Blockhouse Point. What they want is access to at least one of the bluffs. And to do that, they got to come through the trails that you've said you don't want any equestrians on. So I'm wondering, you know, is there a least impactive route that could be entertained?
If forced to pick a route, I could pick what I would think would be the least impacted route. But... it wouldn't eliminate impact.
Okay. So that's the answer to my question. And the piece of information is that legal counsel informs me that, in point of fact, because we advertised this as discussion, we can't vote today. We can take a straw vote, but we have to take a formal vote at a later session. So
okay.
If there was interest in trying to work something out, you have the time to do that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't know if anybody wants to work it out or you just want to vote. But
I certainly want to see your route. If you know the route, if you could, now's the time to point out what you think would be, you know, I understand you think it's all intrusive. I'm not trying to make you change your recommendation. Just
the only route that I could see would be straight from the farm out to this point and back. I don't see any appropriate equestrian access any other way through here. There's just too many steep areas and too many bad spots and trails already. Mm.
Well, may I ask the chair a question? You said that what Calathea wants. My question is, if Calathea doesn't get what it wants, how does that impact its program and its operation?
Calathea is not entitled to get what it wants just because it wants it.
I know. So I'm saying, what's the impact if it doesn't get it?
We have...
They'll survive, right?
Equestrian center on our parkland that is, you know, part of the reason we purchased the property, and it's there next to park that they want to use.
Maybe they'd like to provide a maintenance staff for it.
I think
that's completely appropriate, and furthermore, there should be seasonal limitations on when they ride. They should ride in the rainy season.
So they're prepared.
They already do that to some extent.
They'd staff every other week. Well, how often do you have to? If you want to maintain a trail properly, it's equestrian. What would that mean in terms of staffing? Not your staffing. Somebody else is going to pay for it, I assume.
Or do the work themselves.
No, they do it themselves as volunteers.
That's what the Woodstock riders are doing. They're maintaining the trails themselves. Right. Yeah.
I guess there's obviously different levels of maintenance. I think what the equestrians have done in the past when they provided maintenance is to do tree trimming. And they may drain some puddles, but I think that they're...
But what would you want them to do?
I guess... They would have to check it on a regular basis. They have to make sure that that trees are taken out of the path because they end up walking around the path and making the path bigger.
Right, right, because they need to stay on the path.
To stay on
but the
path.
Photographs you showed that you all showed us, the problem wasn't trees down.
No, but
so I'm a little confused.
That must have been riding in bad weather.
Well, no, that's status quo for our park trails that are open to horses.
Yeah, I mean they're heavy. They churn up the ground. If it's wet, it churns up as mud. If it's not wet, it churns up and it's ready to plant potatoes.
Is there an anomaly here that we, the custodians, are talking about having horses use the trail because of the fact that it's within our purview after we've been informed by the people that at least I'd like to think have their expertise that we shouldn't? There's no contradiction or conflict or something from that standpoint, although we're not voting. Something to think about. But again, regardless of what happens, I think that you did a very effective job of trying to get us to understand the implications. But just in the future, whenever someone says if, don't ever give them an if, because you will be providing an out.
I don't mean you to be disrespectful, but I'll just
you're not.
When a board member asks for an if, then they need to answer.
Yeah, you need to answer. But you better answer
first
you
of all.
Find out
you guys with a lot of
I don't see any disrespect. Too. You're just being
all right.
A strong statement of professional.
I think we know what we need to know about where everybody is.
So are we going to bring this
you
back
can
in
make
2 weeks?
Choices are someone makes. We can have a straw vote. If someone wants to make a motion right now. Or we can just bring it back in 2 weeks and see what happens.
Well,
then.
We can actually vote now, can't we? And just coming back and confirming.
No, I don't think that's appropriate. We shouldn't be voting at all.
No, it's not going to be a consent item because
we
still know.
No, we still have to go do it again. Mm-hmm. So we have to do
the
whole.
My preference would be not to take a straw vote. I mean, we've.
Right. Let's put it down for a future session.
Okay.
We discussed it. Right.
Hey,
can I make an offer?
Public hearing was in December. We can wait another month.
My offer, of course, is I'm already scheduled to go walk the park with Councilman Andrews on the 15th in the afternoon at 1:30. If anybody would like to join us, they're
that
welcome
could be
to
good.
Do it.
All right.
And I've walked
what
this
time?
Park
you know
1:30.
At
Calathea Farms, we're meeting in the parking lot there. And please just give me a call so I know. And I have to tell you, I've walked this park. I thought that the bluff itself was really pretty small for any more than one horse at a time. Maybe I was heavier at the time. but I didn't think it was that big. So maybe some examination.
The staff's
help
point of view is unequivocal. And we value your professional, unvarnished view.
Yeah, I agree. Just tell it like it is. And we'll have to, I'm going to try. I'm going to very much.
All right, we'll
like
do this sometime after the 15th then. And unless there's any other business, we are adjourned.
Okay.